Friends, good to see you. Good to laugh and talk and be together this morning, this afternoon. Let's just bow our heads and say a prayer as we kind of jump in. God, Holy Spirit, we just continue to invite you, God. We felt your presence among us, and we ask now that you would continually open up our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. God, would you pick us up in our failures? Would you meet us in our needs? Would you strengthen us in those ways that we are following after you already? And God, would you give us just a fresh wind of your Holy Spirit? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been in this series, laying the groundwork on the Holy Spirit the last month or so, looking at kind of the theology, who the Holy Spirit is, right? The Holy Spirit is God's person, God's power, and God's presence. Last week was sort of a shift, if you will. We kind of began to looked at the overall view of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today, we're going to get into the weeds, if you will, of our first sort of manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and that is the gift or the thing of that the Spirit does in terms of prophecy. Prophecy. Okay, so we're going to wrestle with that. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You've got the scriptures there in your notes. Also, it's the little fill in the blank today too. Okay, so if you have a pen, get that ready. If you don't have a pen, pull out your phone and just go to your notes. Don't go to Facebook, and you can add some things there because we'll kind of play with that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is in-depth on, it's an in-depth chapter on prophecy and tongues. We're just going to focus on prophecy. We'll talk about tongues down the line. But that first verse there in chapter 14, Paul's writing, he says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." Now, if you remember, if you were here with us last week, that word translated spiritual gifts, it's actually only one word in Greek, and it actually doesn't, the word gift is not in there. In a better translation, we argued, was the things of the Spirit, the stuff the Spirit does. So it says, pursue love and earnestly desire the things of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. Now, that idea of earnestly desiring is this idea almost of coveting or being jealous for the things of the Spirit, especially prophecy. How many of us feel like in our hearts, you don't have to raise your hand, but you've earnestly desired, you've coveted, you've been jealous of this gift or this move of prophecy in your life? I'll be honest, in seasons of my life, I have not pursued, been earnestly desiring of that gift, of the thing of the Spirit. So we want to move into that. You know, yesterday we were at the Trenton Thunder game, a baseball game down in Trenton. And you guys know the that machine that shoots out the T-shirts, you know, the free T-shirts or whatever. So at the end of the game, we're over here towards third base. The mascot or whatever is way out in right field. He starts shooting these T-shirts. And Bennett started to earnestly desire this T-shirt, okay? And of course, I'm there and I'm like, no. Like, you know, we're never going to get a T-shirt or whatever. I'm not earnestly desiring this T-shirt, right? He begins, Dad, you got to get ready. Dad, I can't, you know, he's got his glove, okay? So as the mascot starts to come down, I'm starting to get a little earnestly desiring, you know, a little coveting, a little jealousy here because I want this T-shirt. And so sure enough, he pops it, starts to come up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a chance. So I like run over like three things. I didn't hit him, but I kind of pushed out an old man, and I dropped it, okay, so I did drop it. But then I was able to kind of elbow the guy out of the way, and I picked it up, and I gave the T-shirt to Bennett. Now, it's a 3XL from like 2017 or something like that. You know, it's these stupid T-shirts that nobody cares about that I'm going to hopefully get to throw away in the trash, you know, in the next week because we'll never use it. But Bennett earnestly desired this thing, and it began to build up in me. So that's what we want to do. We don't want to hurt old men, you know, at the baseball game, but we want to get excited about this gift of prophecy, okay? I know that prophecy, it kind of can seem a little weird to us, but if I ask you the question, do you believe God still speaks? How would you answer that? Do you believe God still speaks? Now, if I asked you, hey, do you feel like in seasons of your life, something was you just had this impression in your own heart to maybe share something that was on your heart with somebody else? And then that person, when you shared that, they said, wow, that's like exactly what I needed to hear. Does that happen in your life? Right? And that's how the scriptures think about this idea of prophecy. That's what they talk about when they talk about prophecy. I just about last week, I had a friend who we hadn't talked in about 6 months, and we had talked about something about 6 months ago, and we had talked a couple times in there, but it was just kind of casual. And then about a week ago, he called me, and we were just casually talking, and he brought up this thing, but I think he did it in somewhat of a prophetic way, just something that I was wrestling with in my life, and we just kind of wrestled through it together. But I feel like it was the Spirit's prompting for him to bring that up, and that's as simple as we'll see. As prophecy. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look through the scriptures and see, before we get back to 1 Corinthians 14, I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 1 and see how this plays out in God's word. So if you want to flip with me to Genesis chapter 1, we read this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We've read this before in this series. And God said, or God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 3. Let's jump down to verse 6. And God said, or God spoke, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters. Verse 9. God said, God spoke, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. Verse 14. And God said, let there be light, lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Now, we see it right here in the beginning of the Bible. However we kind of interpret Genesis chapter 1. Some people take it more literally, sort of 24 hours, 7 days. Some people take it in a more poetic sense. Either way, it's a theological statement that God spoke life into existence. God spoke our world into existence. Now, turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. That's the fourth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. And Moses, one of the first prophet, or the first prophet, really, we read this in verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. Interesting. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, what'd they do? They prophesied. They prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now, two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the Spirit rested on them. So the Spirit's resting on them, but they're in the camp. They're not with the other 70. And they were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied in the camp, right away from everyone else. And a young man ran and told Moses. So there was a tattleteller back in Israel's day. And Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And then Joshua got all upset. Joshua, the assistant of Moses, said, My Lord, Moses, stop them. Verse 29, Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. So right there we see this idea that Moses is dreaming, Moses is hoping that not only him, not only the 70, it doesn't matter if it's there or outside the camp or in the camp or whatever, that all God's people would prophesy, that all God's people, that his Spirit would pour out on them. Okay, now we're going to flip over quite a few pages through the Old Testament to the book of Joel. You may need your table of contents to get there, but that's in towards the end of the New Testament. And the prophetic, the minor prophets there. Joel chapter 2, we've read this before, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Joel's talking about the future at this time. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. So Joel is seeing this day when women and men, when young and old, when all people, Jews and Greeks really, everyone will prophesy. And so he says, how will this happen? This will happen when the Spirit is poured out upon all flesh. Now, let's go back a few pages, but we're actually going forward chronologically to Jeremiah 31. This is why I gave you guys the bulletin, so you kind of can stay with me in that way, all right? Jeremiah 31, chapter 31, we read this. This is from the prophet Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. So there was an old covenant, and he's saying, I'm going to make this new covenant with you. I will put my law, or we kind of see that as the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I'm going to put it within them. I'm going to write it on their hearts, God says through Jeremiah. And I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer shall each one teach his own neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. So what Jeremiah is saying here is it's going to be different when the Spirit comes. It's going to be into our minds and into our hearts. So this new age, you know, Moses would go up on the mountain, right? And he would hear from God, and then he would come down off the mountain and he would say, thus says the Lord, right? This is what the Lord says. And how do you kind of argue with Moses, you know? Thus says the Lord. Well, it's not going to be like that, okay? You know, Pastor Lisa and I, we don't go to the office and come back and say, thus says the Lord, right? It doesn't quite work out like that. You know, our office is not quite as spiritual as Moses' mountaintop experiences there. But what happens is that for all of us, now that we have the Spirit of God, that God sort of imparts, speaks to us into our thinking, into our feelings, sort of this like direct deposit into our hearts and into our minds. Now, let's flip over to the New Testament. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. This should be a very familiar passage to us. We've, again, read parts of this before. The beginning of Acts says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jump down to verse 13. But others were mocking them, saying, hey, they're filled with new wine, right? They began to speak in other tongues, and some people were saying, no, you guys are not filled with the Spirit. You're drunk. But Peter, standing with the 11, he lifted up his voice. He said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. He's saying, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk, you know, and I would, you know, that applies to most of us, right? We hope. But, you know, he says, no, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, verse 17. In the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And he goes on and on and on. What Peter is doing here is he's taking the prophecy of Joel and he's saying, it's come to pass. It's come to pass through Jesus' death, through his burial, through his resurrection and his ascension. Now the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the believers on Acts chapter 2. And what Joel had prophesied, what Joel had hoped for, what Jeremiah had hoped for, what Moses had hoped for, is now available to us as the people of God. As the people of God. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 21, and we're going to see how prophecy sort of plays out before we look at exactly how it plays out for us in our church today and in our lives, okay? Acts chapter 21, this is a story of how prophecy works, how it's similar, but it's a little bit different than what Moses, you know, Moses going on the mountain hearing the audible voice of God or something like that, okay? Acts 21, verse 8. It says, on the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and we stayed with him. Now, he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Four unmarried daughters who prophesied. They were prophesying. And while we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit." Notice the difference. We read before, "Thus says the Lord." We read that often in the Old Testament, but here it says, "Thus says the Holy Spirit." This is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns his belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there urged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready, not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since Paul would not be persuaded, he was stubborn, we ceased and said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." So what we see here is that that things are similar, but they're a little different than the prophets of the Old Testament. We learned sort of two things. But let me say this first. There's sort of three parts to prophecy as we kind of think about it and understand it for our day today. And you'll have to write this down or put this in your notes. The first thing is there's revelation. The second is interpretation. And the third is application. Okay, revelation, interpretation, and application. Now, this is not much different than the process that we go through with Scripture as well. With Scripture, we have revelation, which is the text. Then we have to interpret the text, and then we have to apply the text to our lives. With revelation, with prophecy, the Spirit of God gives us something. Maybe the Spirit of God brings up a Scripture to our minds or puts a Scripture on our hearts. Maybe there's a word or a phrase or a picture or something like that. And then we get that, and then we have to sort of interpret, what does that mean? What does it mean? And then we have to apply it and learn how to apply it in our lives. Now, the truth is, friends, revelation is the easy part. Right? Revelation's the easy part. It's the interpretation and the application where things get a little fuzzy, and we can run into some challenges there. It can kind of get weird. We see this in the story, right? Agabus, he receives revelation that Paul, if he goes to Jerusalem, is going to be in big trouble. He's going to be in prison, possibly die. And so what he does is he receives that revelation, he goes to the community of faith, and he says, you know, he takes Paul's belt and he says, here's the prophecy. Whoever's belt this is what is going to happen, which was true. But then we're not sure exactly if Agabus was advocating for this, but it said Luke and others, where the interpretation, the application, they interpreted that revelation and said, "Hey, Paul, don't go." Right? Don't go to Jerusalem. Look what's going to happen to you. This is the revelation from God. Don't go. But what did Paul say? Paul didn't say, "Oh, Agabus, you're so right. You took my belt, and okay, we just trust you, and we're going to go with it." Paul was like, no. That's a right revelation, but the interpretation, the application, I feel like it's different. I feel like I should go because of this. Now, do you see how that's just a little bit different than, again, Moses sort of coming down from the mountain saying, "Thus says the Lord"? What do you do with that? Whereas in this story, now with prophecy, the revelation comes, it's given to the community of faith, but there's sort of this wrestling that happens with it as the whole people sort of engage with the Spirit of God. And so all that to say is that Paul's relationship was a little bit different. And for us, we have to also sort of do more discerning because prophecy for us is a little more subjective. Even though it can be God speaking through us, we sometimes can get in the way and we have to discern together as a family of God. Okay? So I put what I would call a sort of a continuum on your bulletin there. There's two lines, and I want to talk about the continuum of prophecy. Because on one hand, you have, you might want to put it on the left-hand side there, what's called 1 Corinthians 14, or that prophecy is for every person, right? If you have the Spirit of God, everyone is able to prophesy. In the middle of the continuum is what we might think about maybe the gift of prophecy, or maybe we look at the book of Romans, where somebody just, you know, maybe they're just wired a certain way, or they just have a natural gifting to listen to the Spirit in a very particular way. And so they have a gift of prophecy. And then on the other side of the spectrum is what we might call a prophet, right? And that doesn't mean that someone just, you know, self-proclaims on, you know, YouTube or on TV that they're a prophet or whatever, okay? We got to be wary. But sometimes people have the gift of prophecy and they begin to use it in wisdom and they begin to, you know, their kind of role in the church is to sort of be a prophet in their local church or in the community. And so sometimes we would consider someone sort of prophetic and sort of running into that gift. But there's a continuum of this. And I think for us, what we often think about is, hey, prophets or the gift of prophecy, but we forget this first part that, hey, prophecy in general, because we have the Spirit of God, is for all of us. And that's what I want us to focus on in 1 Corinthians 14. That's what Paul is talking about here. It's the things of the Spirit. And that's why we try to translate that, understanding the Greek, that it's not just the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, I don't have the gift. I can't prophesy. No, everyone can prophesy because we have Christ in us, because we have the Holy Spirit. Let me just give us a couple definitions of prophecy from a couple of people. So Ben Witherington says this. He says, prophecy is not a sermon. Thank God for that. It is a spontaneous utterance prompted by the Spirit based on a sudden and uncontrived revelation from God. Another person says, prophecy is speaking what God spontaneously brings to mind. And then I really like this definition from Greg Hanselin. He says, prophecy is a phenomenon that results directly from access the Holy Spirit has to our minds. Remember that passage in Jeremiah? Whereby the Holy Spirit can create pictures in our imagination, supernatural dreams while we are asleep. He can put words or ideas or scriptures into our heads with such force that we know that there is something that carries with it the responsibility to pass on and relay what the Holy Spirit has communicated. What the Holy Spirit has communicated. So let's talk a little bit about how prophecy comes. Okay, because this can kind of get a little, we're not quite sure. What I would say is we're not, 99% of the time, you're not going to hear the audible voice of God. Okay, I'm not going to rule that out, but I'm going to say probably not. It's going to come a different way. And what I would call that is through impressions. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to us through impressions. Now, one example of this would be through Scripture. You know, Krista, you're reading your Bible or you're in your prayer time and you just have this sense of, you know, a psalm or a proverb or the Gospel of Luke or something like that. And then you go there, you kind of read that and you feel like, wow, I wasn't expecting to read that scripture, but the Lord was sort of leading me in that way. So it could be a scripture that sort of comes to your mind that the God brings you to or that you were kind of feeling. Another thing could be a word that you hear. So think about, we did, one word at the beginning of the year or a word for the year? That was kind of the idea of that, where at the beginning of the year, you pick a word, you pray, God, what's the revelation for this year that I need? Whether it's rest or hope or life or peace or whatever that is. And then all year, you have to kind of play out the interpretation and the application, right? What does rest look like in January? What does it look like in April? What does it look like in September? And we play with it in that way. But asking God for a phrase or a word, some people receive pictures in their minds if you're more visual in that way. Sometimes people have talked about prophecy coming as more of a gut feeling. Just sort of this idea like, something's not right with this situation, or something's not right with this person, you know, and you don't want to take that too far, okay? That may just be your bias or your prejudice or whatever it could be, so you need to be careful about that. But at the same time, sometimes some people just have like a sense. My wife is really good at this. Sometimes she's just like, I just don't know about this situation or this, you know, context, and we just need to watch out for that. She's good, and sometimes I don't see it, but she's able to see it. And so we want to be careful with that, but sometimes it's a gut feeling. This has never happened to me, but some people talk about sensations in their bodies where maybe your elbow starts to hurt or maybe, you know, you have some sensation in your body. And what's been known to happen is, you know, let's say, Anita, you're having elbow pain and I'm sitting down and I begin to have elbow pain and somehow we connect and the Lord's sort of sharing with me your pain so that I can begin to pray over you in that way. So things like that have been known to happen in the body of Christ. And then, of course, dreams and visions are also can be God speaking to us. Now, you know, sometimes it's just our subconscious Sometimes it's because we shouldn't have eaten that ice cream, you know, that late or whatever, or something else. But thank you for laughing at that, Kathy. I appreciate that, okay? But sometimes dreams or visions are God. And we know that God speaks especially to people of other faiths, speaks about Jesus through dreams and visions, but it can also happen to us. Okay, let's go to verse 2 of chapter 14, because I think this is very important before we get into the very nuts and bolts of this. But verse 2 in chapter 14 says this, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And I want all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up." Notice, prophecy is about strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. And friends, that's what the voice of God sounds like. That's what the voice of God sounds like, strengthening, encouraging, comforting. Now, that's a general rule. Sometimes there is rebuke, right? Sometimes there's rebuke from God if we're living in not the ways of God. But often, even that rebuke, in a sense, is about strengthening, encouraging, and comforting, and challenging in many ways. Of course, what we know is the enemy's voice is the opposite of those things. Right, the enemy's voice is anxiety, is fear, is isolation. It's about the enemy's voice tears you down. It's about guilt and shame. But God's voice via prophecy builds us up. So we have to remember that when we're thinking about prophecy. It's about building up the body of Christ. The second thing about prophecy is that it's rarely about the future. Sometimes we think about prophecy like, hey, Irma, what's going to happen in, I'm just picking on you because you're right here, okay, I'll keep looking at you. Solomon, you know, what's going on, Solomon, how you doing? Second row, you thought you could get away, but I got you, brother. So if we said, hey, Solomon, can you prophesy, can you tell us what's going to happen in, you know, September, or hey, how's the stock market going to do in a couple months, you know, that's not what we're talking about when we talk about prophecy. Rather, prophecy is less about foretelling the future, and it's more about, like, how do we live our lives now? So we might say, hey, this thing's coming down the pike, but it's more about, hey, how do you live your life now? How do you do what you need to do in the present? Don't worry about the future, in a sense. Here's what you need to do in the present. Of course, the truth is that prophecy is not, it's not error-free, right? And so again, we have to be careful with it, as I said. Let's jump down to verse 26, because he talks about tongues, but we're going to kind of end here, going down to verse 26. Paul says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be only two, or at most three, and each in turn let someone interpret. But if there is one to interpret, let each one keep silent in church and speak to himself." So he goes on there. But what he says is in verse 26 is, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation. See how it's participatory in the work of God? Everyone's kind of bringing their something to the body. And so as Pastor Lisa sort of led us in this prayer time, and I'll be honest, friends, you know, every time we do that, there's always that part of me that's like, no, I just don't want to say anything. I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, I just want to sit down and just listen in church, right? But when we get up and we begin to pray for each other and talk with one another, it's actually us working out our gifting. It's working into who we are as the body of Christ. We all have something to give in what we're doing. Paul ends this in verse 39. He says, "So my brothers and sisters, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues." He begins the chapter with talking about, hey, we need to earnestly desire this. And then he ends the chapter with saying, we need to earnestly desire this. I'm going to close this way. I just want to talk about how we begin to move in this area of prophecy. And then I want to look at how do we begin to receive prophecy in our life. Okay, so here's, there's no, you know, the scriptures don't say, here's the four steps, do this and you will begin to prophesy. But here's sort of one way we could look at it. The first one, and this probably goes for anything, create space and listen. Create space in your life and listen to God and the Holy Spirit. Quiet your heart. Quiet your mind. Listen to God's voice. Begin to read Scripture. Begin to read Scripture. And ask God, God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say through me? What are you trying to say through me? Just, you know, in your morning devotional time, at lunchtime, if you stop for 5 minutes to pray, in the evening before you go to bed, God, what are you trying to speak to me? And then begin, number two, just begin to see what comes to mind. What do you hear? Is there a scripture? Is there a word? Is there a phrase that maybe God reveals to you? Maybe it's a sense. Maybe it's something in your gut or something going on in your body. And then you begin to ask God for that interpretation. Okay, God, I sense maybe this scripture, or I sense this, I have this feeling. What does that mean? And then what is the application as well? What am I supposed to do with this? A couple follow-up questions would be, who is this for? And when is the right time to deliver this? Right? So is it for me? Is this scripture or is this word for me? Is it for our church family? The whole church needs to hear it, or maybe just my cohort, my three or four people? Or is this for my summer with Kairos golf outing, or, you know, whatever it is? I don't know. Is this for my serve team? Who is this for? And then when do I need to give this message? Do I need to call Crystal up right now and say, Crystal, you got to leave the kids and we got to meet for coffee and we got to talk about this? Or can it wait? You know, hey, I'll see you next time. I've got just a word for you. Think about what it is in that way. And then if you're sensing this and you feel like God is sort of putting something in your heart to share with somebody, then you have to deliver the message. You've got to deliver the message. And what you don't ever say is, God says. Thus says the Lord. All right? You don't do that. Moses can do it. And unless you hear from the audible voice of God or something and you pull out your phone and you like get a recording of it or something like that, maybe you could say, thus says the Lord. But let's not do that, because truthfully, so much damage has been done. It's been manipulative for so many. And so what you want to say instead is, I have a sense. I've had this sense. I'm not saying this is God. I get this sense, and I want to share it with you, and I want us to kind of remember, as Paul did with Agabus, I want to see if this may be something that God wants to share with you. Would you test this? Would you see for yourself if this is what God has for you? So you do it with humility, courage, and love. You do it with humility, not God says. You do it with courage, because sometimes it's a little weird. Most of the time, you're probably saying something encouraging and strengthening, but maybe sometimes there's a rebuke and somebody doesn't want to hear it, right? Or maybe there's a challenge in there, and you have to be willing to kind of to look a little weird, maybe to step out and say something unpopular. But you always do it in love, right? It's always encouraging. It's always strengthening. It's always comforting. You're not going to do this with pride. You're not going to do this in anger. I know your sin. And so I'm going to tell you, God revealed your sin to me. It's not about that, okay? You're going to do it and help that person feel encouraged, strengthened, and loved in that way. Last piece, then we'll close. We're going to look at how to receive a prophecy. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just read a couple verses there. Paul's writing to the church, and he says this. He says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Both sides of the spectrum here. One, he says, don't quench the Spirit. If somebody comes up to you and says, I think I have a word from God that I want to share with you, don't say, no, Philip, you know, I don't know about you, bro. Like, I don't think God speaks to you that much, all right, you know? I haven't been seeing you reading your Bible too much, bro, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I saw what you posted on Instagram. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what you posted on Instagram. But you get my point. My point is just to say, you can distance. Or no, man, I read my Bible. I don't need prophecy. Don't quench the Spirit. Allow Philip to share it. And then you're going to discern it in many ways. Okay? But the other side is you're going to test it. You're going to test the word. It says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Philip comes to me, he wants to share a word, that's fine, but I'm not just going to receive it just because he said it was a prophecy or he said it was from God. We're going to test it. We're going to, remember, this is subjective. These are impressions that God has for us. A few questions to ask when you test it. Does it line up with Scripture? That would be the first thing. God's not going to contradict the Word. Number two, is it strengthening, encouraging, and comforting? I keep hitting that over and over and over again. Even if it's a rebuke, is Philip coming to encourage me and strengthen me in that way? And then this is sort of subjective, but I think as most people talk about and experience prophecy, 95% of the time, it's something that when somebody comes to you with something, you usually already have a sense. God's sort of already been stirring in your heart in some way what's been going on. Now, maybe if you're totally walking against the ways of God or something like that, it might come out of left field. But for the most part, you're like, oh, yeah, that's true. That's something I needed to hear. That's something that I wanted to hear. And so you want to, you know, Paul says, hold on to what is good, reject what is evil. The translation is just chew the meat and spit out the bones. All right? We're not going to be 100% perfect here. Right? But just because maybe there's a little bit that's off, I don't want us to just say, okay, we want to forget the Spirit. We don't want to prophesy. We don't want to talk to each other. We don't want to speak words of life to each other. We want to chew the meat and spit out the bones. We're doing this in humility and love and courage, recognizing that this is subjective because there are people involved, but yet God is working among us. And so, friends, we want to eagerly desire what this looks like. Eagerly desire the gifts, the things of the Spirit. And so this week, I just want to encourage you to spend some time. We weren't going to practice this today, per se, necessarily, okay? But we're just going to, I want you to spend some time just listening to God's Spirit. God, what are you speaking to me? What do you want to speak through me? And what it might mean is, I need to call John up this week and give him a word of encouragement or a word of rebuke. I don't know. I'm picking on everybody today. I love this. All right, who's next? It might mean that I need to do that. It might mean if you're meeting in summer with Kairos or your cohort or just with people in this church that before you meet with them, you pray, Holy Spirit, I'm meeting with this person. Do you have something that you want me to share with them? Do you have something you want me to share? We're just going to begin to sort of move in this direction as we begin to discern the Spirit together, okay? So, Amar, you want to come up and close us in a song, and I will, let's stand together, and I'll pray for us. Father, we want this to be the new normal. We want to eagerly desire the things of the Spirit. We believe that you are still a speaking God. And one of the ways you speak is through other people. You speak to us in so many different ways, God, but one of the ways you speak is through other people. And so in humility and grace, God, we want to desire prophecy. We want to desire the things of the Spirit. We truthfully, a lot of times, aren't sure how to move in these directions. And so we're just kind of beginning to dip our toe, but we don't want to stay there. We want to move deeper into the waters, deeper into the deeper life that you have for us. And so that when we come here on a Sunday, that we engage during the week, Lord, that it wouldn't just be one person speaking life or two people, but God, that our entire church family, filled with the Spirit of God, will begin to speak words of life over one another. Prophecy is just us listening and hearing words from you, God, and then humbly sharing those and discerning together as a body of Christ. God, we're eager for you to speak to our hearts. We're eager to be used to encourage and strengthen others. Come, Holy Spirit.